Hey, back on Downtown Tuesday afternoon, 4:30. Rich Kimball with you. Time to talk basketball. To do that, we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, good afternoon to you.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Did you guys get a little snow down your way?
A little bit, not that much. We escaped anything serious.
Yeah, same here. We've got, I guess, a bigger one coming our way this weekend, but it's okay. It's winter. We should get some of that. Let's talk about what's going on. The good news, I guess the first thing that comes up is the fact that Jason Tatum seems to be out of that shooting slump.
Oh, boy, it's about time, huh? he was, you know, it wasn't the first one that he hit. It was the second one that he hit in Washington, and I said, oh, boy. It was just a little bit contested. But he was able to step right into it, and he wasn't bothered by it at all. You know, you felt like he would break out of it at some point, right? Because despite all of the theories and the possibilities that make him a little uncomfortable or have made him a little uncomfortable throughout the season, he's still too good to be going 0-for-20, you know? So it was nice to see some of that level off a little bit. And I'm sure the Celtics would love to see that continue now.
Well, it has been a roller coaster ride, but as you pointed out, they're pretty near whole now, and maybe things will at least level out and we can get some consistency.
Yeah, I think the big issue for Ime Udoka is that he hasn't had the full lineup. So anything that he's tried to do, he hasn't had the full complement to actually accomplish everything that he wants. And so some of the data on the early part of the season that we've all been wondering, like, when is he going to stop playing Dennis Schroeder and Marcus Smart together? Well, we saw it in Washington where Schroeder only got 22 minutes and he and Smart only played together for a couple. And now some of that might have been because of the blowout, but I do think that there was some level of realization from Ime Udoka that, hey, this combination isn't working. And I think we're starting to see Schroeder get minimized a little bit because that combination doesn't really work together. And he's been a little bit of a detriment on the floor for the Celtics. So now we're starting to see with the full complement, some of the options that are available to the Celtics and what they can do when they're whole and some of the strategy that Ime has been criticized for not having. Maybe some of that can kind of start to take shape.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. You wrote about and talked about on the podcast trade possibilities. You think whatever happens, likely not going to be a big splash, but there are some names being thrown around. Let's start with Al Horford. Is he available for anybody who's interested?
Well, I think everybody besides Tatum and Brown and Robert Williams are available. And even Robert Williams to a minor degree, but Horford, I think for sure would be if some team decides, hey, we want that veteran leadership. We want that, you know, a type of player like him that, you know, and I look at the Golden State Warriors as a potential trade partner there when all of a sudden Draymond Green is injured and you need a big man who can pass and defend. Well, Al Horford's right there, and if you're willing to give up something good, you can have him. So I think that's the key for the Celtics here is that they're not willing to just give these guys up. They're not. I don't think they're actively shopping Al Horford, but if the right deal came along, yeah, sure, he'd be available.
And obviously, guys like Schroeder and Richardson are out there in again the right offer.
Yeah, Schroeder especially. I think now Schroeder is a little bit different. Schroeder, I think, would be actively shopped. I think they're looking around to see, all right, if you're willing to give up, it doesn't take much, but you know, a couple of picks, then Schroeder is certainly available. Richardson, I think, has played himself into a pretty valuable player, so he would be available. But I think if they had to keep him, then sure they could keep him, but I look at Richardson as a really good guy to aggregate for, you know, I brought up Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is available from the Sacramento Kings. He makes about $20 million. If you threw a Richardson plus one of the younger guys and maybe a pick type of package at Sacramento, maybe they'd look at that and say, okay, we're willing to take that and because we think Richardson is a valuable, like, good veteran piece for our young team to kind of give them a little bit of guidance. And maybe you take a young player, a project that maybe he fits on their timeline. So I think Richardson has played himself into a spot where he could be an either or. Like, he could be a guy that they keep, and we've shown that he can play with these guys and he has some value. Or he can be a guy that will be traded, and they could get some really good value for it.
So possibly guys on both sides doing a little scouting tonight while the two teams get together as well. But you think if they're going to make a deal with the Kings, you think they might also have to include somebody like a Nesmith or a Langford?
Yeah, I think one of those guys is probably going to have to, because the Celtics' assets overall are not entirely great. You know, like, Harrison Barnes is going to be a pretty sought-after guy. Like, I don't think he's at a point in his career where they're just dumping him. They think that he can give they can get some assets for him. So if the Celtics are going to compete with other teams, they're going to have to step up, and it just then at that point depends: do the Kings value Nesmith or Langford? Do they see the value in those guys? Are they saying we need a proven shooter, or do we want a guy who's more of a slasher? And that might kind of factor into who they might want. And like I said before, there's no guarantee that those guys are even going to get the job done, because Harrison Barnes is going to be sought after, and other teams are going to be making their offers as well. And while we might sit there and say that's enough for Harrison Barnes, another team might have somebody that's a little bit more attractive to them, and might get the deal done. So I would say, as funny as it would be to have Harrison Barnes just kind of stay in Boston, be like, oh, we just played. No, don't get on the plane. Just stick around. You're coming with us to Atlanta. I think it's going to push all the way to the deadline, because they're going to want to get a lot of these offers from other teams.
It did my heart good to read your thoughts that there's nothing to any of these Ben Simmons rumors, simply because the Celtics aren't willing to give up what they would want.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're looking for Jaylen Brown. They want an all-star level player. So it seems like Daryl Morey has his heart set on James Harden. And that's going to be an interesting scenario there. But if they don't get Harden, if he doesn't actually make that move, doesn't work out, then it's Damian Lillard, it's Bradley Beal, and they're lumping Jaylen Brown into that. I guess their hope is basically the Celtics continue to slide and Jaylen Brown gets frustrated, or the Celtics decide they can't play Brown and Tatum together. But I don't think the Celtics are anywhere close to that. I don't think Jaylen Brown is anywhere close to that. So pie in the sky. They'll keep dropping the name just in case, but I don't think there's anything to that.
What do you think we'll see tonight when they take on the Kings?
Tonight, honestly, it's really all about themselves. It's not even about pushing the Kings or trying to avoid the transition and all that stuff. I think now that they're whole, it's about can they start figuring out how to play together on a consistent basis. And it's all about Marcus Smart running the point and Tatum and Brown and the rotations ahead of that, staggering Horford and Robert Williams. How long do you have those two playing together? What's your big man rotation? We didn't see Enes Freedom against Washington. Are we going to see him in this game? Are we going to see him moving forward when the team is fully healthy? So the combination, like I said before, of Schroeder and Smart, is he going to continue to just stagger those guys and not overlap them and start to kind of sort of phase out Dennis Schroeder? Those are the things that I'm watching for. It's become, at least for the next few weeks, less about particular strategy against the other team and more about themselves, figuring out themselves and tightening up what they need to tighten up to make sure that they are their best after the All-Star break, especially.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, on the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, we thank you as always. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll check in next week.
All right. We'll talk to you then.